All glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's good to see you tonight. I'm so excited for 2018. I'm still excited for it. God's doing major things in us. Amen. He's doing major things around us. You know, I can just sense the excitement and the building as I'm just living life, as I'm just out there in the presence of God. You know, we can stay in the presence of God. It's up to us whether or not we do. You know, we learn how to do it in church, but we should continue it the rest of our week. Amen. The rest of our days, we should spend our time in the presence of the Lord. If we're living outside the presence of the Lord, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Amen. And that just means we need to figure out where we missed it. We need to get in there and find out how to get back into it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And don't you know that church is a great place to start? Church is always how we learn how to get into that presence, how we learn how to follow God. You know, following God is not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome, but they help us, they guide us, they build us up, they make us stronger. Hallelujah. They take us into everything that God has promised us. They are the doorway into what God has for us, and I'm just so thankful for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this week, if you got the slick text, then you know this week I've been into the Word, and I just, you know, even in busy seasons, we're in a busy season right now, but even in busy times, you know, you separate yourself for a little bit, get in the Word, and God will reveal things to you. Amen. Many times, several times this morning or this week in the morning, I woke up with scriptures on my heart that turned into messages that were on my heart. Praise the Lord. And this is one of them. Amen. God has laid them out for me to lay them out for you. Praise the Lord, because He wants us to go into good things, get into good things. Amen. Now, Friday nights, we're in a little bit different flow generally, and part of that flow is to take us a little bit deeper, a little bit further, a little bit higher, amen, into the things of God, because we want to see all that God has for us. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a level of Christianity that you can get on Sunday morning. And what I mean is by what most people's mentality is on Sunday morning. But there's a level that we can walk into by just doing that. But then there's higher levels for us to walk into. Amen. You know, being a pastor, I didn't get there just by Sunday morning services. Right. Hallelujah. I got there by Wednesday night services and extended meetings and traveling and all this other stuff. You know, putting the Word first and getting things built in me and learning not to be offended, learning not to be upset, learning to be good with the flow of God. Amen. And not leaving church crushed, even though when maybe my toes were stepped on, but leaving church in a place from a standpoint in my mind that God was taking me higher into greater things, and knowing that God wants to bless us. And see, the only reason that people would have a problem with what we preach, because what we preach is the Word, but the only reason people would have any kind of problem with that is because they haven't got revelation yet that God's trying to take them somewhere. God's trying to take him to a higher level and to greater things, because God loves us, amen? And he loves his people, and he loves the other people that aren't his people yet, amen? And he wants those people. God so loved the world that he sent his son, amen? He sacrificed his son, but then his son was sacrificed so he'd make a whole bunch of us, amen? A whole bunch more of his sons, praise the Lord, because God intended us to do just the same things that Jesus did, amen? Praise the Lord. And so tonight's message is called, Will You Be Chosen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we're going to start in Matthew 10. Will you be chosen? Turn with me to Matthew 10. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 10. And we're going to start in verse 37, Matthew 10. But you can just find that and hold your place there. Matthew 10, 37. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a big difference between be chosen and being chosen. You can get chosen. Somebody can choose you. But then it's something wholly different to walk that out. And that's what I mean by being chosen. Amen. Is that there's something about, you know, when in the title of the message, will you be chosen? It's not just will you get chosen. It means will you be the one who's chosen? Will you be the one that God has chose you to be? Will you operate in the things that God has determined that you should operate in? Will you walk in what God has provided for you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Because it's all a matter of what we decide to do. It's a matter of how we decide to connect with what God's doing. Amen. The what is not our choice, but the cooperation with the what is solely our choice. Amen. So what you're chosen to, or what God has picked you for, or what he has laid out for you. You know, we love Jeremiah 29:11, and most people like that because that means that God's got a plan of prospering them, not to hurt them. Amen. And most people love that because they think, well, it's good that God It's good to know that God, it's good to go to a place that teaches you that God isn't trying to put you down and hurt you, but he's trying to increase you, amen. But you know that goes so much more than just God having good things for you. He's got things he wants you to walk out. He's got things he wants you to walk into. And all of that stuff is determined by him, but whether or not we walk in it is determined by us, amen. The what is not our choice. We don't get to pick to be a pastor. We don't get to pick to be a prophet, evangelist. We don't get to pick to be in the ministry of helps. We don't get to pick these things. Amen. If I pick somebody to fill my pulpit, they didn't pick it. I picked it. Amen. According to the Spirit of God. I didn't just consult I didn't go through my little black book and say, hey, well, so Joe Blow, he preaches real good, so I'm going to try him first. And no, he doesn't, he's not there, so we're going to go to the next one and see if they preach. No, we don't pick that way. And that's why, it doesn't matter what we do in the church. I don't pick, we've got, praise the Lord, for our ministry of helps and all the people that serve in here and the leaders that we have in our church. And thank God for, people that run youth group and people who usher and run ushers and stuff like that. But I don't pick those. God picks those. Praise the Lord. But when we get picked to do those things, it matters how we fulfill it. It matters if we decide we're going to walk in it. Amen. In our future picking or our future what, amen, the things that we're going to walk into in the future, that is determined by how we do the first ones. Because God is only going to increase us as we increase, amen, as we're faithful. Praise the Lord. Faithful is not showing up, just showing up and being happy, just being there just because you showed up today doesn't make you faithful in an area. Being faithful is when you've sold out to God and said, Lord, I'll do this for the rest of my life, amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God has us to do things all the time to test us. He'll have you in lower areas to test you to see if you'll be faithful in the bigger areas. And I'm going to tell you, if you haven't been faithful in the little ones, then you won't be faithful in the big ones. Amen? Because God, that's just a principle of the word. Praise the Lord. Let's get into the word here. Matthew 10:37. Glory to God. 37:38. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Praise the Lord. Anyone who puts anything above God is not worthy of God. Amen? That's exactly what Jesus was talking about. There's so many people that don't realize this. They come to the Lord and they don't realize that it becomes about something more than just them. It was you that brought you in, but if you want to get out, there's more than you that you have to be willing to sacrifice, that you have to be willing to put down. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't love your father and mother. It just says that you can't love them more than God. Amen. You can't seek them more than God. You can't seek their approval more than God's approval and be worthy of God. Amen. Where God is calling us, he is calling us as the body. Praise the Lord. God has not just called us to an area to fulfill an area just because it's something that we like to do. Amen. There's people that like to preach. There's people that like to speak. Amen. I know many ministers in training who love to get the opportunity to speak, and they don't always get their turn to speak. Why is that? Because it's not about what you desire. It's not about what they desire. It's about what God desires for you. Amen? And there's things that have to be put in you. I've talked with many people about how a lot of churches will pick pastors or people to fill the pulpit. Praise the Lord. And these people can't, half the time, these people can't even live straight. They can't even live right. And then they sit there and they lead God's people. And what they do is they really lead God's people to destruction. See, because their character hasn't been proven. When I first came into the church, I was much different than I am today. Amen. I wasn't the faith giant that you see standing before you today. Hallelujah. Well, that's a joke. Praise God. But I wasn't full of the same things I was full of. I was full of the world. And it wasn't until I started putting down the world that I got to start being used. And where I got to start being used was not at the top of the heap, amen? I had to come in at a low level, and I had to clean stuff, amen? I had to clean toilets. I had to clean the floors, and I had to be okay with that for a time. And then as I proved myself in those areas, God raised me up into other areas, praise the Lord. But he's calling different parts for the body. He calls us according to what is needed. One thing that my family has learned, being a ministry family, is that whatever is needed in ministry is what you do. Amen? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you want to do. It doesn't matter what your preference is. You know, when we started this thing, my son wasn't even really a musician. He had a guitar that he played around with a little bit, but he certainly wasn't have any aspirations of being the next great American Idol or anything like that. Amen? Praise the Lord. But what did he do? When he was 16 years old, he became a worship leader in our church. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, how many know that you do what you got to do? But he wasn't also only the worship leader. He also helped set up. Amen. And my other children as well. Caleb learned how to play drums just before he came out. Praise the Lord. And he learned how to pound during. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it wasn't even when we came out. It was like, we need something a little bit more. And so there was a guy willing to teach him, and Caleb said, yeah, I could do that. So he did that, and praise the Lord. But you know, Caleb is also, before service, he's also back there putting scriptures in, and he's also here setting up, and he's also running here and doing this, and he's editing services online. Praise the Lord. See, this is what ministry is about. A lot of people think, well, ministry, you just get to stand up there, hallelujah, once or twice a week, and then go golfing the rest of the week. Well, it doesn't work that way, not in true ministry, amen? There's things that you must attend to. There's people that you must listen to. There's lots of people you must listen to, even when you don't want to listen to these people. Amen. You can listen to people that you teach all day long or all week long. Praise the Lord. You give them a word. You write faith fixes, and you send out slick texts. You do all these things to give people scripture. And then they talk to you, and they talk about everything opposite of what you just said, in a different way from what you just said it. And you're like, well, I'm trying. So what you do is you keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Amen. But we do according to what we're called to do in the body. We do what is necessary to do in the body. Amen. We put down family time. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's times when you put down family time where you don't get to do all the things you want to do. Amen. That's what I love about God. God blesses the faithful, and he does make way. But you see, there's things that you put down when you want to serve God. Because anything you choose above God, praise the Lord. I said anything you choose above God, you're not worthy of following him. You're not worthy of being called his. Amen? And there's so many people that don't realize that we are not just called as a family to ministry, but we're called as people, children of God, to ministry. That every person that sits in these seats, most people don't realize that they're in the ministry today, and yet they are. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said everybody's in the ministry. Every single one of us have a ministry out there. When we walk out these doors, we carry the knowledge of the truth with us. Amen? We build the church. Hallelujah. That's how the church gets built, is by the people that sit in the seats. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think of my dear brother and sister, Bob and Chris Calhoun. Amen. I have said this so often. Every church that starts off needs a Bob and Chris. Amen? I ain't joking. Every church that starts off need a Bob and Chris. Why? Because Bob and Chris, they pounded pavement. Man, they let everybody know. They let everybody know about their church. They let everybody know about their pastors. They just talk. If I walked into a place, I could always know when Bob and Chris were there first. Why? Because people are just good to me. Amen. They didn't know me from Adam, but man, this guy must be good because Bob and Chris talk about. See, they were just doing their part of the body. They were being in the ministry. But man, look at what it's built. Praise the Lord. You cannot build a church except for on people who are willing to be called. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our individual call will completely be connected to where he has called us. This is something so many people haven't realized, is that what they are called to do, every blessing in your life, everything that God will ever do for you is connected. The ultimate best plan, for I know the thoughts and the plans I think toward you, says the Lord. Those highest and best plans, that if we walk in them, those highest and greatest plans, the ones that God has ordained through all of time, hallelujah, when he created everything and he thought of you and he thought of those plans that he had for you, those plans are completely connected to where he has you. Praise the Lord. They're completely connected there. That's why Christians are foolish when they walk away from what God has called them to and where God has called them to be. See, you think you were just coming to church, but you didn't realize that God had plans for you. See, we threw that scripture up on the wall because it's an important scripture to us. We want to lead people into that scripture. We want people to find the plan of God for their lives, and they have no idea. There's people outside these doors tonight that have no idea that their plan is called to right here. right now. Amen. God's waiting to do something in everybody who just gets that. You know, I think about it took us years for us to get the realization of other services other than Sunday and the importance of it. It took us years to get that. But when we finally did, I'm going to tell you what, you can't keep us out of them. I said, you can't keep us out of them. Why? Because they're important to us. They, you know, this week, I couldn't be in my pastor's service. And I try to, just about every week, I'm in his services throughout the year, in a Wednesday night service. And why? Because I'm still called there. I'm still connected to my pastor. I've never been separated from him. But you know, this week we had a lot going on with the Corey Church and getting that building ready, amen. And I had been pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. We've been doing many late nights, and I've been doing plenty of all days and thinking about things and talking about things, and plus dealing with all the other stuff that you deal with and putting these things together, you know. And I got to the point where I just pushed myself a little bit too far. And I got to the point, I had taken a nap before service on Wednesday night. And I woke up from it, and I knew there was just no way I could go. And so I sent my pastor a message, let him know that I wasn't going to be in service. But, you know, I felt terrible for not being able to go. I felt terrible, not condemned. I wasn't condemned for not being there, but I felt terrible. I was like, because I know that that's my feeling. And then the next day I talked to him, and I found out what he preached about. And I'm like, man, I missed out, you know. See, people don't realize that what they miss out on from not being connected, fully connected. Like, people will so casually pass things off, and they'll say, well, you know, I couldn't be there for this, or I couldn't be there for that. And really, it was no big reason. And the thing is it wasn't, you know, they hear me shouting about it all the time. They think I'm just, you know, just trying to have a lot of people here. But that's not what it's about at all. Our life is connected. Our life is connected. Our lives, everything that God has planned for us, He set up a course for us to follow, and everything He's given us is ideal for that plan, to set that plan in motion, to keep that plan going, to cause blessing to come into our lives and fill us up. You know, there's people all the time that come in here, they'll come in here sick, they'll come in hurting. They want help, amen? And there's people that come and they won't get connected, and just kind of connected, or they'll be kind of connected here and kind of connected there. I can't do anything for them. The anointing in my life is not powerful in their lives because they haven't connected to that yet. Amen? You know, you think about a plug that, if you don't plug the plug out all the way into the wall, it's not going to run. You don't get partial power. Amen? It either plugged in or it's not plugged in. Hallelujah. And see, people don't realize that they forsake the call because they don't realize the importance of being connected to what God is doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where our call is where our answer is. It's where our help is, and it's where our blessing is. What we are called to. This is why I say, God, whatever, I consecrate myself all the time. Lord, whatever you have me to do. If God tells me to move to Guam, guess where I'm going? I'm packing up. See you later. I'm adios, Chuck. I'm on the road. I'm going. I'm on to something new. Why? Because I'm going to follow God's plan. Yeah. Amen? And if God calls me to Guam and you see me going, don't get sad. Get excited. Praise the Lord. Why? Because that's what He's called me to do. See, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what direction we're going in, as long as we're going in the direction of God. Hallelujah. We want to be connected to what God has. Where our call is where our answer is. It's where our help is. It's where our blessing is. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's plenty of people that they won't come get connected because they want this or they want that, and the whole time they're sacrificing that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, there are going to be many sad people when they stand before Jesus. Yeah. See, people don't think that's such a big idea or a big thing, but it really is a big thing. Praise the Lord. God says it's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing, amen? You don't want to just, yeah, like when you stand before the judge, and He's going to judge, He's going to look at your life and what you did with it, what you did with the Word, and He's going to look at it and start saying, you know, you didn't do this. What did you do with this that I gave you? Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I spent it on this, or I spent it on that. Spent my time, spent my money. Praise the Lord. Spent my energy on whatever. Praise God. That's the truth. See, people all the time, they don't consider what they're doing. Amen. You know, as a pastor, I have to consider what I do. I have to think about it. I have to spend time in the Word. I have to spend time in prayer. I have to set aside the time to do the things that God's called me to do, because if I don't, then I don't feed the people, and then I got to answer for that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew 22, verse 1. Matthew 20, not very far from where you were. Matthew 22, verse 1. I love the principles in the Word. The Word is so good. It keeps us straight. It keeps us on course. It keeps us in the blessing of God. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching to the choir. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. If you knew what the Word does for you, amen? Oh, there's people I even talk to, even this day, that are facing trials that are answered right here tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like, praise God. I'm going to stop there. Whenever we see in the Bible, the kingdom of heaven is like, we need to pay attention. When we see the kingdom of heaven is like, it means this is how the principles of the kingdom of heaven work. It's like this. So pay attention. If you want to know where's God, he's connected to the kingdom of heaven, right? Praise the Lord. He is the king of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. He is the ruler of the kingdom of heaven. And so it's like, if you want heaven to invade your life, if you want heaven to work in your life, then you need to know how it works. Amen? So the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. That's interesting. And sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Wow. They were not willing to come. He was inviting certain people. He sent them out. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Amen. Again, and I wrote this in my Bible, he gives us more than one chance. I love this. God gives us more than one chance. Verse 4. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all the things are ready, come to the wedding. So he tells you what he's done. He tells you what he's prepared for you. And then he says, come. Hallelujah. But they made light of it. Oh, glory, glory, glory. They made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. You know what it's saying? It's like people do this all the time. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. God's prepared the fatted calf, hallelujah. He's prepared the meal. He's prepared the feast. He's prepared the blessing for you to feed you, amen? And what do people do? They go to this and they go to that. They put these things above the other things. This is just what it's like, amen? They made light of it. See, when we do, whatever we put above God, we make light of his word. We make light of his direction. We make light of what he's doing, amen? This is why I serve God today. I didn't always serve God. There was a long, long, long time when I served myself and only myself. How do you know you serve yourself? Well, praise the Lord. If you're always looking to please yourself, if you're always looking at what makes you happy, if you're always concerned with what is going on in your own life, if you're always concerned about this and that that's happening to you, you're serving yourself. This is what serving yourself is. Amen? This is why the devil sends sickness to people. Why? Because a sick person serves himself. How so? Well, they sit there all. They think about their sickness all the time. My sickness, it's mine, 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 mine. My this, my that. I heard a guy talking, this week, and what was he talking about? I can't remember exactly which disease it was. I think it was maybe diabetes. He was saying, my diabetes. When I hear that, I just cringe. I cringe inside. They take ownership of it. It's theirs, it belongs to them. My cancer. My this, my that, my gout, praise the Lord. My this, my that, it doesn't matter. It's mine, 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 mine. They claim it left and right, and then they wonder why they got it all the time. Well, so all you do is focus on it. All you do is focus on what is yours, amen? You're focused on yourself. That's why disease comes. Why do you think the devil sends poverty and lack to you? Why do you think he does that? Because when something happens, when you have some kind of turmoil in your life, what's the first thing people do? Instead of looking to the Lord, instead of looking to Jesus and just talking about his goodness, no, they talk about the problem. Listen, you know this, and maybe you don't know it yourself, but just watch, just listen. You spend the next week, take the next week and just do this. Just listen to people you talk to. Is there anybody talk to anybody during the week here? Praise the Lord. Just listen to them as you talk to them this week. Watch and listen, and you'll pick it out. Somebody will be going through something, what are they doing? They're just talking about it. We're talking about it. You'll hear Christians. You'll hear people in this church. Listen, you'll hear people in this church talking about how much this and that going on and this and that, da-da-da, blah-blah-blah, boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo. Yeah, they're just talking about all the trials, all the problems. That's what they talk about. Amen? Well, why do they have all those trials and problems? Because that's all they talk about. They don't ever talk about the goodness of God. What do you think praise is for? Praise is to get your focus off of you, stupid, and get it onto God. Amen. Yeah, because that's where the power is. Yeah. The power is not in you talking about how bad things are. If you're going to spend your life talking about how bad things are, then you're going to always have bad things. If you're going to spend your life focus on the sickness, focus on the disease, focus on what's coming next. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do next. I don't know how we're ever going to get through this. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You're a child of God. You should know. Why? Because the Bible says so. Hallelujah. You say, well, that doesn't line up with my life. That's because you haven't believed it enough. That's because you haven't focused on it enough. Hallelujah. And it doesn't come overnight. People spend their lives messing it up, coming to church, and want to get fixed overnight. You know, I was reading my devotional this week. My mom and I were talking about it. We have this healing devotional that we're reading, and we got extras if you want to buy a copy. It's something that we have every day. We're not selling to make money or anything like that, but just so the church, because somebody's got to pay some for the stuff of the church, right? Amen. One of the things they're talking about is that, if people go to a doctor, and the doctor says come back on Tuesday, what do? They come back on Tuesday. The doctor says take this pill, take that pill, take this pill. What do they generally do? They take it. Amen. If they say, come back, I need you to come back once a month, what do? Come back once a month. Amen. They say, you need to check your blood pressure all the time. So what do? Check your blood pressure. Generally, there's people that don't, but people that go to the doctor generally are going there to get some kind of answer, and they listen. Yet people come to God, they come to church, they get their direction of what to do, and then they don't do it. And they come once, and they say, well, it didn't change, so it must not work. Well, it doesn't work because you're not working it. You're not doing it right, amen? You can't just come and see, praise God, hallelujah. Well, amen. That's good, hallelujah. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. He said, who does that? They just invite him to a wedding. Well, praise the Lord. Do you not know that the prophets of old were chased down, hunted, and killed? Do you know that pastors are viciously attacked all the time? Do you know people like us are attacked all the time for the things that we preach? I mean, all the time. It's constant. You know how many people? There's people in this town that call our church rotten names because of dumb things people have done in the church and not because they know anything about our church. Oh, yeah, absolutely. See, because if you live some way different out there and you profess about how you go to this church, guess how what everybody does? They start looking at this church and they treat it spitefully. Yeah, that's what they do. The church gets a bad name. God gets a bad name because you're an idiot. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Yeah, when you go out there and you do stupid stuff, you know what I'm talking about. What am I talking about? The stuff that you're not supposed to do. Yeah, it's a hickey on the body of Christ. Amen. It speaks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I didn't know you get me on all this. It's Friday night. It's supposed to be nice. Praise the Lord. But seriously, this is what happens. See, people, they listen to the way we talk, and God gets a rap for it. That's why people, it's constant. It's a constant thing. That's why people out there, they don't understand why Christians keep going to church. Because you got a bunch of Christians, a bunch of sorry Christians going to church that are sad. They're upset all the time. Everything's always falling apart. Everything's always broken in their lives. Nothing ever works. But I serve God. Oh, glory to God. He's good. Oh, yeah, how good is he? He's really taking care of you, isn't he? He's really helping you through all that stuff, isn't he? You see, because that's what they believe and that's what they project. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. But they seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Amen. So we're all invited in. We're invited to the feast. We're invited to the wedding, to the celebration. We're invited to come, praise the Lord. We better not be the ones that aren't worthy. Amen. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. You know, this is also symbolic, obviously, of the Jews didn't accept God. And that's primarily what it's talking about here, but it still applies. But the Jews didn't accept God, so what did he do? He sent it out to thieves and rapists and murderers. Said, here, you guys go have it. Yeah, praise the Lord. You'll come change. Praise God, you can have it. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went to the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. Amen? Both bad and good. I love that. Because God, he didn't care what we were like. He said, just come in. Come in. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Praise the Lord. You know, I put this in my mind. What does that have to do with it? Because that really is, you could almost miss that if you just read it quick. But you know, really, what that is, you realize we're the ones who are called in afterwards. We're both the bad and good. We're those people. Amen? But what it's saying here is, he didn't have on a wedding garment. He didn't take it seriously. He didn't take the call seriously. He said it didn't matter to him enough. He's like, oh, wait a minute. I wasn't invited, and now I am, but I'm not going to take it seriously enough to make sure that I come properly prepared. Amen? Why? Because you don't show up to a wedding in rags. You know what I mean? No, glory to God. I'm not going to get into all this, but you just, you know, it matters. If as a pastor, that I come to the Lord, when I come to preach in his pulpit, it matters to me that I come looking spiffed up, hallelujah. That I bring God my best, amen? Because I have a realization. I take my call seriously, amen? I recently saw a picture of a wedding that one of these new pastors, you know, these new popular pastors, the churches that, you know, they just like what we call a seeker sensitive, you know. And everybody in the wedding, all the wedding, they were all wearing tuxes. And this stinking pastor is wearing a polo shirt and khakis. I mean, seriously, he looks so ridiculous there. But he didn't even see it. Of course, that's how he preaches too. It matters. It does matter. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because it matters to God. You take it seriously. You take your call seriously. I don't do the same things I used to do. Why don't I go to the bars? Because I take my call seriously. Why? Because if I go out to the bar, you see me sitting at the bar tipping them back, and then I come here and stand in the pulpit, you aren't going to listen to me very good. You're going to look at me and you're going to judge me. You're going to say, wait a minute, you know, there's something off in that. Because even the world knows that there's something off about that. If you saw the priest and you saw the priest, rabbi, and a pastor walk into a bar, praise the Lord, you see this happening, and people would talk about it, because even the world would talk about it, because they know something's off about it, something's wrong about it. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So this, where was I? Verse 11. Yeah, so he didn't have on a wedding garment, and the king saw this. So he said to them, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. The call doesn't mean anything unless you're going to be chosen. The call doesn't mean anything unless you decide that you're going to be the chosen. See, you can be called into the wedding. See, this is an example of people coming into the church. You who were Gentiles, you who were estranged from God, you had nothing. God had nothing to do with you before. But Jesus came and he prepared a way for you to come in. And you come in and you don't take it seriously. See, there's so many people that come to church and you just don't take it seriously. That anything moves and they're gone. Anything moves. Anybody says something and they leave. Listen, people say stupid things to you. Why? Because people, by and large, are dumb. Yeah, people say stupid things. Have you not learned that people say stupid things? Even people you love. Amen? I love my wife. She loves me. She says a lot of stupid things to me. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, that might be reversed. Maybe I got that backwards. But you know, see, sometimes they say, what if every time I said something stupid, she's like, I'm done. I'm gone. That's what a lot of people are doing today, you know? A lot of people are saying, well, I don't like that color on you. Oh, you got a booger on your nose. I'm gone. See you later. Yeah, they leave for frivolous reasons. They break up relationships. That's why, this is why we don't like dating. Why? Because that's what dating is full of. You know what I'm talking about, dating. I'm talking about dating like, you know, kids dating, like in high school, because my wife used to say it, because that's where I got the whole booger on the nose thing, because my wife, if she was in high school dating somebody, she would have broke up with them because they had a booger on their nose. Completely would have, amen? Because it's frivolous. There's no, there's nothing in there that is of any meaning, you know? Oh, you like somebody for a week, and then the next week, you don't like them anymore, amen? Well, guess what? When you get married, there's lots of boogers and lots of those. Amen? And any married person say amen, hallelujah. Because you know that when you're married, there's boogers all over the place sometimes. Sometimes there's a lot more than boogers. But you know something? We have to take it seriously. Hallelujah. How did I get on all this? Why did you get me on that? Praise the Lord. Many are called, few are chosen. See, many people can be called. God called us in, but people don't take it seriously. They don't say, wait a minute, God did something for me to make me able to get. Listen, you don't have to like the way things work. But the truth is church, if it's a good church, will teach you the truth, the way things actually work. Yeah. And the way things actually work is people were lost and Jesus came to die for them so they could be saved. He was and is the only way to know that you have salvation, praise the Lord. He was the only guarantee that we would ever have is Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Well, maybe you came in not knowing that, but you've been taught it now, and that's the truth. That's the way it is. If you don't like it, doesn't matter if you don't like it, that's the way it is. Amen? We don't have to live right. You don't have to live right, but you don't have to have Jesus either. You don't have to do things right, but you don't have to have what God has for you either. You don't have to walk into the blessing of God. You can walk into healing. You can walk into prosperity. You can walk into joy, unreal joy. Hallelujah. I was experiencing some of that just this afternoon. I was just driving. I was spending time with the Lord, praying and praising, praying in the Spirit. Amen. And praising God. Hallelujah. I just got happy. I don't know what it was. He just got happy. There's no reason to be that happy. I was just happy. Why? I was being full of joy. God's given me joy. Amen. There was a time in my life that I would look for joy. I would look for joy here and I would look for joy there. I would look all over for joy and never find it. Until I found Jesus. Until I found the truth. And I started living right. And God changed me because I took the call seriously. Listen, this is what we. It doesn't mean that every one of you is going to be called the pastor. So don't fret. You're not going to have to stand in front of people and have to talk to people and all that stuff. But you're called to something. Yes. You're called to something. Will you be chosen? Will you be the chosen? Will you be the chosen ones? Because the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Yes. Means lots of people will get the call. Lots of people God is reaching out to. But few of them will be picked. Few of them will be faithful and say, God will say, you know what? You get to come in and get to experience Jeremiah 29:11. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. The what is not our choice, but the cooperation with the what totally is. If we want what God has for us, praise the Lord. We can only get it through doing what He has ordained for us to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Romans 12. Praise God. Hallelujah. God loves us. He's teaching us, taking us higher. Sometimes I'm surprised when people come back. Praise the Lord. You preach hard. You preach fire. And sometimes, when people come back, you're surprised when people come back. But it's the right heart. It's a good heart, But it's the same thing. It's like just like I said that way, you can have it easy in here and hard out there. You can have it hard in here and easy out there. Amen? Because if you let the hard sink in and change you and you go out there and you live it, guess what happens? That whole world out there changes. But what's funny is when you got it hard in here and it becomes easy out there, once it becomes easy out there because it was hard in here, all of a sudden in here it starts becoming less hard. Why? There is a process of time where listening and hearing things that you don't love to hear, those work on you and they get that stuff out of you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Do you know there was people that were here every Friday night when we'd have a Friday service, wouldn't miss it. They won't even show up anymore. Why? They're going backwards. They're not serious about the call. Yeah, amen. That's the truth. Now, I'm not saying not everybody who's not here is bad or anything like that. But the idea is that in any midweek service or whatever in any church, it's always a lesser number because people don't get it. But if you came once and then you don't come, there's something seriously wrong. Don't blame God when stuff comes. People say that all the time. They're like, why this stuff? Well, how serious did you stay? Yeah, you stayed serious for 5 minutes when it felt good, but then when it stopped feeling good, you stopped being serious, and then you wonder why the power of God isn't working in your life anymore. If you do less than what you originally did, guess what? You're in a bad place. It's a bad place. Every year should be more. My wife and I, we endeavor every year to be better, to be more, be bigger givers, to be better helpers, to be more into the plan of God, to be doing what God has called us to do more. More. Every year should be more. It should be growth. If it's not more, then something is wrong, and it's not on God's end, it's on yours. Praise the Lord. Romans 12:1. Praise God. Hallelujah. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Hallelujah. It is reasonable that you sacrifice things in your life to God to be holy for Him. It's reasonable. Jesus died for you. It's reasonable that you live right. It's reasonable that you seek God. It's reasonable that you try to do what God has asked you to do. It's reasonable. It's not unreasonable. Listen, if I come in, it's reasonable that kids take care of their parents when they're older. Yep. Why? Because their parents took care of them when they were younger. It's reasonable. It's unreasonable. This is why I'm going to tell you right now. And I believe this with all my heart. This may be an opinion, but I believe it, and I believe you can even point to it in Scripture just because of the way that we're supposed to be with our parents. But kids are not called, generally speaking, kids are not called to move away from their parents. They're not called to be separate families all over, split up. I know people who never see their kids. The one lives over here, one lives over here. Well, they had to chase their career. It was real important because we wanted them to be career-minded. That's not God's plan, to be career-minded. God's plan is to follow God's plan. You're career-minded, and they wonder when they're older where the parents are or where the kids are. The parents need their help, and the kids are nowhere to be seen. Let's see, listen, if you raise your kids right, they'll know that that's not necessarily... Well, one thing I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad my mom put that in me. Amen? I couldn't leave. I didn't have an option. I was like in my 20s before I realized that I actually could have left. And by then it was too late because I was already stuck. Praise the Lord. But that's the truth, you know, that's the way it should be. Parents should be taken care of when they're older by their kids. You don't raise kids, so, you know, I watched my mom, praise the Lord, wonderful example. My grandma in her the end years of her life, I watched my mom moved her into the house. Praise the Lord. None of us were adversely affected by it. None of us were sad because grandma was there. Some of the greatest memories of my life were my grandma living with us when she was older. But my mom was the one. And my mom was the last child on the line that came years and years and years after. Yeah, there was like a lot of years. Like her siblings were grown up practically grown up when she came along. Whoops. You know, my aunt and her, you know. But they had her to help with the, you know, because you can't have just a kid by themselves, you know, so you got to have two or whatever. But you know what I'm saying? But it was my mom that ended up taking care of her in those last years. You know, and she was there. And yes, it wasn't always easy. It wasn't always easy because of some of the stuff that my grandma ended up going through. And, you know, she just didn't have the word like we had it. She loved God. She knew God. But she didn't have the word like we have it. And because she didn't have that, you know, she suffered for it. But the point is that there's something about taking care of. Now, listen, God can call people. I'm not saying God can't call people away. But if your kids go away, you better know, kids. Your kids better know that it's God. That's why we don't just send our kids to any liberal college. I mean, that's like foolishness. We're not just like, you know, go ahead, go out there into the world and learn all the crap that they have. Yeah, I said that word again. Praise the Lord. But learn all the garbage that they have that they want to pump into you. And then you wonder why the kids are off being squirrely and not wanting to. I've known people that have done that. Sent their kids away to college. The kids went away believers, come back atheists. Yeah. So, yeah, you want to risk that? That's fine. For a career. What do we do for a career in this world? Isn't it amazing what people will do for a career? They will give up everything for a stinking career in the end of their life. Do you think they're going to stand before Jesus and say, hey, well, I got that really good job. Praise the Lord. I didn't do anything that I was supposed to do, but I got that really good job and I made lots of money. Well, praise the Lord. You can't take it with you. That's for sure. Praise the Lord. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If renewing were a one-time thing, it wouldn't be called renewing. It would be called renewed. Right? Renewing. He said, Pastor, you read the scripture often. Yes. That's called renewing your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. You could have a little recording of me carrying it around with you every day. And when you face things in life or when things come up in life, you could play it and it would just be me saying, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be, you could play it every single day. You go to the doctor's office. Oh, you got something real bad. I don't know if we can fix this one. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think I'm going to take that job that takes me out of church. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to let my kid go out with that boy, my daughter go out with that boy. Do not be conformed to this world. Heck no, do not be conformed to this world. Play it louder. Play it again. It doesn't matter. She's not going out with that boy. Praise the Lord. And I just say that because I have a she and she ain't going out with that boy. You say, what boy? I don't care what boy. It doesn't matter what boy. There ain't no boy that's coming until there's one that's ready to marry her. And he better not come for an awfully long time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And when he does come, he's going to come knowing that I'm packing heat. Because that's the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Any wolf comes sniffing around my house, I'm going to tell you what right now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have no problem. We have no problem not being Christian, going to jail if we got to. Praise the Lord. And that's how I be. I'm telling you right now, that's how I be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's look at this in the Amplified Version. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. External, superficial customs. But don't you know this is the way society is going? External, superficial customs. That's what it is. It's external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. By its new ideals and its new attitude. See, this is why so many Christians fail. I'm going to tell you something. You think I bring up this scripture a lot? I could bring up the scripture every single week. Why? Because every single week, every person is dealing with the same stuff. You need to transform your mind. Renewal of your mind, it's by its new ideals and new attitude. If you are a new believer, a new person in Christ, you should have new ideals and new attitudes. Praise the Lord. Every time you get into this book, every time you read it, every time you saturate yourself with it, it should transform your mind to go from the things that you used to do or the things that you used to think and start thinking the way that God thinks. Amen? You need to think differently, because if you don't think differently, you are never going to be fixed. You're never going to be helped. This is the only way that you may prove for yourselves what is the good, praise the Lord, and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. The only way to do that is by renewing your mind, not thinking the way you always did. Oh my gosh. People, I can't say this enough. People come into the church. They come to church. Seeking God, seeking change, seeking something. And then they come here, they hear the word, and there's at some point, if you stay, there's something in you that said there's something about this that is different, and yet you still go back to wanting to do the same things you always did, say the same things you always have, feel the same way you always have, go after the same things you always did, praise the Lord, doing the same thing over and over and over, and the reason is because you haven't renewed your mind. Because you still think the thoughts that you have are all about you. People don't realize that the devil, listen, you can have your own thoughts. I'm not saying you can't. But the devil gives people thoughts all the time, and they accept them because just because the thought was there, had to be my thought. Listen, just because the thoughts, if the thought you're having don't line up with this word or goes against this word, it isn't of you, it isn't of God, it's of the devil. You don't understand that, but it's the truth. We have an enemy, a real enemy, who's trying to steal this from you. If you have a thought that is opposite of this, it's not of God, it's of the devil. It's not of, it can not even be of you. But see, the devil does it so sly and so slick that you think, oh, it's yours, my thought. Yeah, oh, sure, I like that guy. I like that woman. Yeah, that's my thought. They're beautiful. I want that. I want to go after that. But they're living opposite of God. They want nothing to do with church. They don't want to, you know, anything to do with God. They don't read the Bible. They certainly don't tithe or anything like that. You want to stay away from that person. Why? Because they're worthless. It's better to be single than to be. I'm going to tell you right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is better to be single than to live with somebody that's the wrong person for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of him, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. He's given us all a measure of faith. And what's that measure? That measure is enough for whatever you need. Now you can build that faith. And you should build that faith. And there's ways to build their faith. There's two ways that I know of in Scripture to build your faith. One is by hearing and hearing the Word. Amen? Hearing the Word over and over and over again, you build your faith. Why do I read the same Scriptures sometimes, even when my own study, go back to the same Scriptures that I've read before? Because I'm building my faith. I want to build it. I want to get it in me. Amen? So I go there. I want to build healing in me so it just comes out of me. How do I do that? I go to healing scriptures and read them over and over and over and put them in me. That's renewing my mind. Why? Because when you put those into you over and over, eventually you're so full of them that you can't put anything else in you. And then when the devil tries to plant that thought that you're sick in you, or tries to throw that disease in front of you and say, hey, look at what you got, healing just comes out. See, this is why people don't walk in divine healing, because they don't understand that they got to get healing built in them first. If it's not built in you first, it's not going to come out of you. The same thing with prosperity, the same thing with joy, the same thing with peace, the same thing with freedom. It doesn't matter whatever the Word says if we don't build that in us. Amen? Praise the Lord. All of this has to do with being who God has called us to be. Praise the Lord. God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Praise the Lord. See, people forget this all the time because they don't renew their mind. They forget all the time that they are the body. You are the body. If you aren't here, the body goes without. If you aren't here, you go without. And what I mean by you're not here, it is not even just that you show up. Because listen, there's people that show up to church that aren't here. Yeah, all the time. There's people that show up to church and they're more interested in the ceiling tiles. They're taking a nap. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. They're doing something, everything other than, they're thinking about lunch. They're thinking about this. They're thinking about that. They're thinking about everything other than what's being taught. And then they wonder why they go without. It is not because God isn't working. Listen, we are interesting creatures. We are, I'm telling you right now, and I include myself in this because I am in the same boat as you are. Still, as a pastor, the only reason I can keep pressing on is because I eventually do this. Amen? Yeah, right? I mean, the only way, this is where we all live. You know, I yell at myself as much as I'm yelling at you more. I look down at myself more at me than I do anybody else. But see, we go through things. We go through struggles. We have to reset ourselves. We have to redirect ourselves constantly. We are constantly. Life is about course correction consistently and continually. Amen? We have to. Wait a minute. That doesn't line up with what God says. So I got to change that thinking. Wait a minute. That doesn't line up with what God says. Amen? Praise the Lord. We have to be body-minded. Amen? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Gifts. We are all given gifts. There's something that we have that we can give. And I'm not just talking about the ability to make really awesome cinnamon rolls, which is great. That's a wonderful gift. Praise the Lord. But you know, Cindy is so much more than just being able to make Cindy buns. She is so much better than, there's so much more that she has to offer. She has her faith to offer, praise the Lord. She has her service to God to offer. She has her willingness to pray to offer. She has her willingness to be part of the service to offer, praise the Lord. See, there's so much more. I'm not saying she doesn't. She obviously does, you know what I mean? But that's just an example. Yes, those things. But if the highest and best you do is bring cookies, you failed. I'm sorry. I mean, those are great things. We love cookies. But if your highest and best is cookies, now if you start off your highest and best is cookies, praise the Lord for you. You know, eventually, yeah, let's grow. Let's get into something. Let's be who we're called to be. God did not call you to be part of this body so you could make popcorn. He didn't. Huh? I like popcorn too. Amen. Popcorn's good. Praise the Lord. There's another pastor. I'm going to call him out right now, but he loves popcorn. And it's funny because every time I talk about if I went to the movie somewhere, one of the questions he always asks me every single time without fail, did you get any popcorn? He loves it. I mean, he'll stop and buy popcorn just to go home. Yeah, we've done that too. Amen. How many people like the movie theater popcorn? Come on now. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm talking about. So it's great. We can bring those things. We can do that. Amen. And if any of you brought cookies, I'm not calling you, you know, down for that. I'm just saying that we have a higher calling than just fellowshipping together, to just getting together and having coffee. Praise the Lord. We praise God for people who want to bring things and make the church better and do things to make fellowship more. But we should be more than that. Yeah. Amen. We should be looking at what can we do to increase this body, to make it stronger, to make it better. Because this is the thing. When the body flourishes, we all flourish. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what. The body is going to flourish this year. My son is a perfect example of that. Praise the Lord. This year. Praise God. Hallelujah. He was faithful. He was faithful where he was working. Faithful to his job. And God, even in times when it was very difficult, they were doing bad things to him. And he talked to us about it. What do we do? What do I do? What do I do? Of course, our direction is in the Word. My first direction is let me add him. You know what I mean? Because he's still my boy. I don't care. I don't care if he's 20 years old. He's still my boy. And man, you talk bad about my boy, well, you're going to see the fire. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? But then the pastoral side of me and the God side of me said, wait a minute. We got to look at this right. And so we directed it right. And you know what? He listened. He listened to sound advice. Praise God. Hallelujah. He listened to sound advice. And because he listened to sound advice, guess what happened? God bless him.